If you want to cultivate peace, protect creation. That's the title of Pope Benedict's message for the 2010 World Day of Peace, celebrated each year by the Church on January the 1st. This year, the message explores the relationship between human beings and the rest of God's creation, calling for an urgent change in lifestyles in order to preserve our planet for future generations. Without discussing specific environmental problems or suggesting technical solutions, the Pope highlights the crisis of values that has led to the problems of pollution, scarcity of resources, deforestation, or the loss of biodiversity, calling on both developed and developing nations to take their share of responsibility and to develop more sustainable energy policies. The message was made public on December the 15th as world leaders were gathering in Copenhagen for the final days of the crucial climate change conference, attempting to find a global consensus on cutting greenhouse gases that cause global warming. While the Pope encourages research into solar energy and other scientific developments, he stresses above all the need to move beyond a purely consumer mentality in order to promote forms of agricultural and industrial production that respect the environment and provide for the common good.
He talks about the need for development, that we all need to go forward together. One country moving forward has to be able to bring the others along with it. One country falling behind pulls everybody behind.
Monsignor James Reinhardt is an official of the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council, which assists the Pope in the preparation of his annual Peace Day message. I asked him to tell us more about the choice of this particular topic for this year's message.
Well, that has gone through a process. We asked the various dicasteries what they believe should be the theme. They come up with several suggestions. We take those suggestions back to the Holy Father, and he chooses one. Now, whether or not it's because this is the 20th anniversary of John Paul's peace message on the environment, on the protection of the environment and man's relationship with creation, or whether Pope Benedict saw this time as a particular need to speak on the protection of the environment, I don't know. I don't know what was in his mind when he chose, but this is what we have.
And it's significantly coming out at the time of the Copenhagen conference going on the environment.
Yes, it's going to be very timely for practitioners, politicians, whoever, theologians, religious, to have this in front of them, especially as the work of Copenhagen continues and as the document develops and finally we get an agreement on some kind of a convention or protocol to the convention.
You mentioned there, of course, Pope John Paul II's message, peace with God the Creator, peace with all of creation. How would you say this new message develops the main themes contained in that of his predecessor?
What I see as this message is that it's a consolidation of most of the things that have been said all the way back to Pope Paul VI. Who brings in then even Pope Leo XIII. So what I see in this document is a synthesis of everything that the social doctrine of the Church has said since the 1890s with regard to creation, with regard to the environment.
Is it true to say that this issue, though, hasn't been at the top of the agenda, despite, as you say, papal statements and documents on this issue going back a century?
Well, at the top of the list, no. We've had wars. We've had all kinds of other things. I think now that maybe in the last 10 years, it has become a forefront issue for the whole world. And so now it's not the Church catching up, but it's the word of the Church being spoken again and saying, here's what we have been saying. Now there's a definite need. As you go through the document, you see the urgency, and that's something that we have been hearing about for especially the last several years, that we have become, it's become an urgent situation, and the Holy Father brings that out, and he shows that the concern of the Church has been that this is an urgent message.
The document doesn't go into detail over specific issues, climate change or deforestation, for example, but it does look at the vision behind all these environmental issues, doesn't it? Just take us through it if you can.
Well, yes, you're right. He doesn't address climate change. He's addressing the environment and man's relationship with the environment and looking at it from the direction of man's relationship with creation and the created world around us, the created world in which we live. First of all, he speaks of the church teaching, as I said, that I see it as a consolidation. He speaks of as a matter of urgency, and he also speaks of that there's a moral issue here, the moral consequence here, and especially in the church's dealing with it. Then he goes into an exposé, if that's the right word, of our relationship with God, our relationship with creation through Genesis, and God's command to mankind to subdue and to have dominion over the earth, and what that means. He speaks of responsibility. He speaks of taking care of the natural environment around us. And then he speaks of the relationship that we have with one another, the universal destination of goods, solidarity. He goes back to Pope John Paul's speaking of a new solidarity, and now Pope Benedict speaks of the global solidarity that he spoke of last year in his message then. And then he speaks of the need for technology, development of technology, the transfer, the sharing of technology, and the need to change patterns of consumption and production using that technology. But then it all falls back on the morality and the ethic of all of this. And then he brings the document to a close with almost a prayer of, we need to realize this. We need to work together. We need to protect the environment in order to bring about peace. In between there, I forgot to mention that he speaks of the hardships that many people are bearing, that are already feeling with the possibility of food instability, of forced migration off land that is no longer fruitful. So he brings humanity into this. It's not just a theological, it's not just a scientific, it's a social document that says, this is mankind, this is what we need, and this is what we need to do.
How much attention do you think this will receive within the international community? Because it's fair to say that, on the whole, these environmental issues are considered as political or economic issues rather than moral or ethical issues, as the Pope is saying here.
Well, I think that with it coming out now, at this time, I think that it will gather a great deal of attention. You know, I don't know from year to year how much people take notice of these things. I know that traditionally we give copies of these in the various languages to the delegations at the United Nations. Now, if this goes to Copenhagen, if someone physically carries copies of this to Copenhagen, I think that it will make a real impact on the negotiations and the work that is going to be going on there and then ongoing.
You're talking about this vision, environmental vision, grounded in Genesis and the story of creation. But is it fair to say there's a fear, perhaps, in some circles, that the Church's vision is based on a creationist and non-scientific vision and therefore should not be part of the broad picture?
Well, we use creation to show that this is the created world. This didn't happen by chance. And we use that command of God to have dominion, but then that goes forward. And as the Holy Father mentions in this document, that he speaks of technology, and technology is a reaction also to the command of God to be fruitful, to till the earth, to bring forth fruit. So, no, it's not just a creationism understanding. There is science in here. There is an understanding, but there's also an understanding of the future, of here we are now, and here's where we want to go, here's where we need to go, and this is what's going to happen at the end time. So it's theological, it's philosophical, but it also is realistic. It brings all of these together and faces the world through the light of theology and philosophy. And the hope of the future.
My thanks there to Monsignor James Reinhardt, an official at the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. And you can find the full text of Pope Benedict's message for the 2010 World Day of Peace on our website, www.vaticanradio.org/English.